Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Josh Koscoff, who is a Connecticut-based trial attorney with the law firm Koscoff, Koscoff & Bieda, who has won landmark verdicts in courtrooms throughout Connecticut and is currently representing 10 Sandy Hook families in a groundbreaking case against Remington Arms Company for marketing and selling the Bushmaster AR-15 used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting that left 20 schoolchildren and 6 educators dead in just under 5 minutes. Welcome to Background Briefing, Josh Koscoff.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Well, thanks for joining us, Josh. And on Friday, there was a national walkout of students across the country on the 19th anniversary of the Columbine shooting. And it does seem that the students, starting with the students down in Florida, are keeping this issue alive. One of the most tragic things about the Sandy Hook shooting was, I recall, President Obama, who was clearly upset by what had happened, and he had tears in his eyes when he finally acknowledged that, in spite of the overwhelming support across the country to do something about assault rifles and mentally ill people having access to them, the Congress wouldn't move. So this has been a long battle. You're taking a different tack by going after the arms manufacturers. And also, the Sandy Hook families are also suing Alex Jones. So it's almost difficult to know where to begin. Shall we begin with your lawsuit against Remington?
Sure, that's a great place to begin.
So go ahead and tell us where it stands, because I understand Remington's filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah, well, that's where it stands. Actually, where it stands on the legal side of things is that the Supreme Court of Connecticut currently has the case and is weighing a decision. The lower court in our state found in Remington's favor and dismissed our case, and I think was overwhelmed by the groundbreaking nature of it. And there is not a lot of law in this area for guidance. So currently the Supreme Court has it and will issue a decision at some point this year. But is currently on hold because when there is a bankruptcy, it stays all court proceedings. We expect that the bankruptcy of Remington will be resolved in a matter of weeks, actually. It was what they call a prepackaged bankruptcy, which means that all of the deal is sort of made ahead of time, and the bankruptcy court issues its approval and is making sure everything is kosher, basically.
Is there a connection, though, between your lawsuit and them going bankrupt? Was bankruptcy inevitable for them, or was bankruptcy a tactic to avoid the damages that you might get from your lawsuit?
Well, that's an excellent question, Ian, and certainly the timing of it was specious and made it look like that it was an effort to shield themselves. But I think the reality of it is that the gun business is not doing well right now, and that is something we should all of us on this side of the issue should celebrate. It's just not a good investment. They were facing mounting debt, overextended themselves because they thought that their sales of AR-15s and other military-type weapons were just going to continue to escalate in the age of Trump, and that wasn't the case. So you have a lot of stock, and it's simply a supply and demand situation that's not favoring them. And so their creditors are saying, where's our money? And Remington doesn't have it.
Well, but this is one of the peculiar things about our country and the gun culture in this country. When you have somebody like Obama president and Wayne LaPierre and the NRA run around saying that Obama's going to take your guns away, gun sales go through the roof, particularly after mass shootings. And then when you've got Trump in the White House, a big proponent of so-called gun rights, the sales of guns go down. I mean, isn't that a little peculiar?
It is peculiar, and the NRA is very expert at pushing this narrative of the government taking people's guns, as well as the narrative of fear. And what they do is they compare that to the quote-unquote freedoms that are being – they equate that to the freedoms are being taken or will be taken away from folks because they can't buy a military weapon to shoot squirrels And so you do have this paradoxical situation where it's the fear of the weapons being taken and the fear of the freedoms being taken that results in an escalation of sales. There's a big segment of our population that fully believes that the government is going to come after them and they better stockpile their weapons in preparation for, you know, Armageddon.
And again, I'm speaking with Josh Koshoff, who is a Connecticut-based trial attorney with the law firm Koshoff, Koshoff & Bieder, who has won landmark verdicts in courtrooms throughout Connecticut and is currently representing 10 Sandy Hook families in a groundbreaking case against the Remington Arms Company for marketing and selling the Bushmaster AR-15 used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting that left 20 school children and 6 educators dead in just under 5 minutes. Let's touch on the Alex Jones lawsuit. Alex Jones has this InfoWars website, radio show, and TV broadcast as well. He has a fan in the Oval Office. Donald Trump has been on his program, and at one point, I'm not sure whether they got White House credentials for their reporters, but they were certainly working on that. But his most outrageous claims were that the Sandy Hook shooting was fake news, I guess, to use the du jour. Mm-hmm. And it was all completely fake, and it didn't happen. It was a giant hoax perpetrated by opponents of the Second Amendment. And, of course, he was challenged subsequently in an interview on NBC by Megyn Kelly on this issue. Now, you're not suing him directly, are you? Apparently, three of the parents of the Sandy Hook victims, Neil Heslin, Leonard Posner, and Veronica De La Rosa, are suing Alex Jones. Are you representing the rest of the families are going to join that suit?
That's currently undetermined at this time, Ian. But I certainly fully support the case against Alex Jones.
So where does that case stand? Because he's now trying to make apologies, back away from what he said. Of course, it's all on the record.
Right.
And even invited these parents to come and watch him tape his show, which I'm quite certain they weren't to take up that invitation. So
they wouldn't if I was representing them.
Right. So what's the latest on the legal maneuvering here? Do you think Jones is basically in an indefensible position?
Well, I think, look, Alex Jones is clearly showing that he's a total coward. And, you know, for years and years and years, he's been perpetuating this Sandy Hook hoax myth. And although there were truthers, quote unquote, before Alex Jones, this is his calling card, the Sandy Hook case. And he's made millions directly, well, probably more indirectly, for his perpetuation that Sandy Hook was a hoax, because he's drawn so many viewers and of his material online at InfoWars and YouTube and listeners. And so he is the Sandy Hook, the ultimate kingpin of the Sandy Hook hoaxsters. And so this effort to backtrack and to make amends, and by the way, what could be better for his ratings than having a Sandy Hook parent on to debate about something that is so categorically true that only a fool would say otherwise. And of course, they're not going to go on the program.
So how do the families, since you represent them, Josh, how do they feel about Alex Jones? Clearly, the families that we mentioned who are suing now and more that you represent may join in. How do they feel about this? This seems like double punishment, rubbing salt in the wound, to say the least.
That is clearly an understatement. You know, I'm going to understand one thing. The families are not a monolithic entity. They all have their own sensibilities. But I think that universally, they're feeling a deep hurt and pain from not. It's not Alex Jones's words so much. It's the actions that they invoke in others. I mean, he's the leader of almost like a terrorist organization that has cells, you know, people acting on his behalf that he probably doesn't know, but are catalyzed by his words, phone calls, stalking, threats, you know, and outright just lies about the families being actors. These are are very painful, extremely painful things to go through when they are trying to themselves recover and gain some semblance of stability in their own lives. I mean, understand that these were families ripped apart, and so it's not just the parents, it's also siblings and community. So they have a lot on their hands simply to regain some value, some sense of safety in their lives. And you have all these acolytes of Alex Jones out there, and it's the ones that act, and it's also the possibility of being in public and being confronted by a Jones acolyte. It's very, very scary right now for one of these family members, and it's not fair.
So this has happened. In other words, followers of Alex Jones, rather like what happened in the pizza parlor in Georgetown, where there was that claim made, the conspiracy theory. I think Jones actually was among the people who made it, that Hillary Clinton was running a child sex slavery ring out of a pizza parlor in Georgetown. On the surface, that is laughable. But nevertheless, it motivated some young guy with an assault rifle to come all the way up from North Carolina, I think it was, to shoot the place up. And mercifully, nobody was killed. So is that happening to the families of the Sandy Hook victims that you represent? Are they being accosted by followers, or you call them acolytes, of Alex Jones? This is actually happening to them in their community?
I mean, absolutely. You know, I can't claim that any individual has brought an AR-15 to confront a family member, but they've been accosted. I have a client who was running a memorial road race for her deceased sister, and it was supposed to be a joyous day of celebration, and she was accosted by an Alex Jones acolyte who screamed and demanded that it was a hoax, Sandy Hook was a hoax, and you're an actor, an actress. I mean, these things happen, and every time one of these family members goes out to the supermarket, they, you know, they risk being encountered by one of these true believers. You know, we think of it as absurd, but the vast majority of people will think of it as absurd, but it doesn't take many. But there's a robust minority of people who believe this, and the more facts to the contrary, the more they believe it to be true. It's just a human nature. So taking this lightly is a risky proposition.
Well, from what I can tell, the politics of Alex Jones and his followers, it's sort of where the loony left meets the loony right. It crosses both the left and the right, because Alex Jones produced this film called Loose Change, which was the primer for the Truther movement about 9/11. So he was involved in ginning up that conspiracy, and that's gotten a lot of traction, a lot of followers around the country. And then he moved on, I guess, from 9/11 to Sandy Hook. But since you've tried to defend the parents against crackpots like this, what have you figured out about why they think that way and why so many Americans embrace this lunacy?
I mean, I wish I could have a clever answer to that. You know, it's hard. It's hard when you recognize it as you do, Ian, as being so removed from rational thought to, I mean, we could speculate, you know, that these are people who are estranged from their communities and looking for and isolated and hateful for whatever reason. And there are just enough of them to find comfort in the like-mindedness of another small minority of people. You know, maybe they feel a sense of superiority by believing in something so categorically false and by being so hostile, that motivates them. You know, who knows why people are so hateful and lack the imagination to actually make something more meaningful of their lives. It's too bad that they don't put all this effort into even debating on real opinions. But that's what I don't understand. I mean, there's plenty of crackpot opinions out there that don't hurt anybody, right? But it's when they perpetuate these falsehoods and factual falsehoods that they cross the line. Why don't they get involved in, you know, spewing out hateful right-wing sentiments? You know, that doesn't necessarily hurt people. But these facts, you know, to tell grieving and shattered communities and families that what shattered them didn't happen is truly a grievous injury to and unnecessary. So that's what I don't understand.
Well, just in closing,
but I don't have the answer.
Well, I don't mean to put you on the spot because it mystifies me, too. I mean, there have been famous political science books like The Paranoid Style of American Politics that have looked into this. But it does seem to be growing, the lack of critical thinking in the country and the growth of fake news and of conspiracy theories. And, of course, it's not helped the fact that the President of the United States embraces conspiracy theories. And I think it was the Washington Post documented that he's lied over 2,000 times. So the alacrity with which the leader of this country says stuff that's patently false. What do you think in the end of the day, who's going to champion truth? I mean, how can we proceed as a powerful country, the so-called leader of the free world, if there's no consensus amongst the citizens of this country about what is true and what is real?
Well, let's. I don't think all is lost on the truth front. I mean, I think we have to keep in mind that it's a grotesque thing that's happening. It is still a minority of people who go about their day living these factual untruths. I think that what's going to change is, number one, we have to take the money out of these perpetuators of myth. So if it's no longer profitable for an Alex Jones type to go on InfoWars and online and in his radio program to spew these hateful falsehoods, then you cut out, you know, the sort of the ringleaders, and then it's harder to sort of generate this movement. And secondly, of course, it's at the voters at the ballot box, and I think that, you know, Trump, I hope, is going to prove to be a gross aberration of, you know, as early as, you know, next election. I think once he's gone, I think it's going to be like, can you believe that Trump was president? I mean, remember those times? Mm-hmm. That's my hope.
Right.
I remain hopeful because also there are people like you out there having sincere discussions and dialogues over real issues, and you'll always win. The Alex Jones types.
That's good to know.
Okay. Thanks. I'm not coming after you.
No, I know, but I, you know, that, I, that means I can get up tomorrow morning and yeah, face the music or face the daily dose of doom from the White House. I thank you for joining us, Josh Kosoff.
Thank you very much, Ian. I appreciate it.
And again, I've been speaking with Josh Kosoff, who's a Connecticut-based trial attorney with the law firm Kosoff, Kosoff & Bieda, who has won landmark verdicts in courtrooms throughout Connecticut and is currently representing 10 Sandy Hook families in a groundbreaking case against the Remington Arms Company for marketing and selling the Bushmaster AR-15 used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting that left 20 school children and 6 educators dead in just under 5 minutes. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Kathleen Ash. This program is available for podcasting at backgroundbriefing.org. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Baby, let's